WDAE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. Microsoft has taken to X on social media to confirm a worldwide outage is impacting countless businesses. The major U.S. airlines are currently grounded across the globe. The problem involves CrowdStrike, the cybersecurity firm. How long it'll last, unknown. Former President Trump accepted the Republican presidential nomination last night, calling on Democrats to stop calling him an enemy of democracy.
I am the one saving democracy for the people of our country.
Turning to the economy.
I will end the devastating inflation crisis immediately, bring down interest rates and lower the cost of energy. We will drill, baby, drill.
The U.S. is already the world's largest petroleum producer. Trump's speech ran longer than 90 minutes, the longest broadcast nomination acceptance speech in U.S. history, besting the two previous longest such speeches, also by himself. This is ABC News. The National Transportation Safety Board telling parents of teen drivers to go beyond warning about alcohol.
NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy is urging parents to warn their teenagers about the dangers of driving after using marijuana. She cites a crash in Tishomingo, Oklahoma that killed six high school girls 2 years ago. The teens were riding in a tiny Chevy Spark hatchback, which collided with a gravel-hauling semi-truck. Toxicology reports found marijuana in the 16-year-old driver's blood. The agency recently released the final report on the March 2022 collision. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
We learned of the May 18th death of Peter Buxton. He was the whistleblower who revealed that the federal government allowed hundreds of black men in rural Alabama to go untreated for syphilis from the 30s into the 70s. Buxton led to the study's end in 1972, a hero to public health scholars and ethicists. Buxton died in California at the age of 86. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
Packer players returning to Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers training camp begins Monday morning with practice open to the public. Defensive lineman Kenny Clark is entering the final year of his contract. I was asked on ESPN Milwaukee if he's considered this might be his last season in Green Bay with the Packers.
This is what I love to do. You know, I try not to let, you know, contract talks and all the, you know, the extra stuff get into my mind and you know, play with my mental. I just go out there and play, man. I love the game. I love being out there with my teammates. I mean, you know, I love what, you know, football has done for me and my family. So, you know, that's just my mentality. You know, whatever happens, you know, it happens. You know, I'm forever grateful.
NBA, the Bucks face the Phoenix Suns in summer league play. Baseball, Brewers taking on the Twins tomorrow night in Minnesota. Golf, Madison's Garrett Jones, the winner of this year's WSGA State Amateur Championship. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, we'll have mostly clear skies, and there could be some areas of patchy fog. Otherwise, light winds and low to mid-50s by sunrise. After any fog in the morning, we'll see mostly sunny skies. Afternoon highs will climb to the upper 70s. It's 53 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, as he does every Friday, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, and we celebrate Daiquiri Day. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wanted to be in porn but didn't have the acting chops, Pete Schwabba.
I haven't given up. I'm still taking lessons. Hey, Wisconsin. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night, coming to you live from beautiful downtown Green Bay, broadcasting statewide. If you're with us on the stream, we welcome you, and we will be live on the radio as well tonight at from 8 to 9. Right now on Civic Media, most stations, there is continuing political coverage of the RNC. We are doing an excellent job with that, but it has limited our audience a bit this first hour. But if you're joining us on the stream, it's great to have you with us. Sherry is joining us. Hi, Sherry. Movies. Yes, Sherry. This is a What to Watch Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. So if you are listening, and I did it again, Conrad. If you are listening, well, yeah. Please share with us what you are going to watch this weekend, and we will read it on the air at 8:20. Are you going to see a blockbuster movie? Are you going to stay home and binge watch something? Let us know, and we will share your suggestions with other listeners at 8:20. A What to Watch Thursday. Some sad news today. Comedian Bob Newhart passed away actually today at his home, as I understand it, from a series of small illnesses. Bob was 94 years old. We'll do more of a tribute to Bob tomorrow when we have more time. And a huge loss. Such a hilarious stand-up comedian. Grammy-winning stand-up comedian. The first comedian ever to have an album reach number one on the Billboard charts, and that was in the early 1960s, went on to have two great sitcoms, The Bob Newhart Show and Newhart, that ran for a combined 16 seasons. Just an absolute comedy legend passing away today at the age of 94. Right now, in the second hour, by the way, Abby Novak will be here to talk about Light the Night, Appleton at 8:05, and Johnny Beaner joins me at 8:15. That's tonight on Nightlight. Right now, we are going to talk with Gigi New. This is an interview we had a couple weeks ago with the actress turned writer, Gigi New. All right, so catch me up. What the heck have you been up to? You were an actress at one point. Am I wrong?
For like a split second, Pete. I went to school for acting. Then moved to Chicago, and I, was doing my theater thing, but I was also mostly waiting tables, as you well know. That's where we met.
Yeah.
And then I moved to LA and did try my hand in acting. Had an agent, auditioned, and everything. Thing is, I'm Latin. I'm Panamanian and Italian, and so when I was going out for auditions, they would go, "Can you do that with an accent?" I'm like, "I don't know what accent. What are you talking about?" And they were like, "Oh, can you play the maid, or can you play the?" And I was like, "Oh my God, this is awful. This is not really what I want to do." I had a story, and I won't bore you with it, but it is probably the best.
I'll bore you with it, and then
I'll say this was probably the best story of my entire life. And I wrote it as just a lark because I didn't have anything else to do. And my boyfriend, now husband at the time, So that is the best story I've ever heard. And you should write that down. I did. I gave it to a friend of mine who gave it to his agent. The agent loved it. It was really a Cinderella story. Wow. Universal wanted to move with it. It was just silly. You know,
That's like the Hollywood fantasy sort of story. You got a script, give it to your friend and they pass it on and something actually happens with it. Because that happens a lot where things don't go anywhere.
Oh, God.
You know?
Dead end. And it started to just make its way around town and people thought it was fresh and funny. It didn't get made, but it did start my career. It did do that.
As a writer. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. So, all right. So let's take people back a little bit. You said you were a waitress. I was a comedian. You worked at a club called the Funny Firm in Chicago. Yeah. And most of the time when you see a waitress in Chicago or like New York, you just think, well, or a waiter for that matter, they're probably trying to act. That's right. But you, that was a fun staff you guys had there. It was just a great club.
Best time.
Yeah. So what, do you have any fun memories of that, of your time there working with all these great comics?
Oh my God. Well, you know, the comics, gosh, right? That's where I met Ray Romano. That's where I met, Bill Hicks. That's where I, just Richard Cheney. I mean, they all just were Paula Poundstone. They were all just at the top of their game. And, and we just had a ball with them because there was, I have to say, the comedian's life is, as you know, it's just not easy. And you're just always trying to, how can I get the joke? How can I do that? How can I do it different? And so there was just a real deep respect, I think, on both sides. We really respected the comedians and they really respected us. We weren't just kind of like these servers,
Right.
So it was just great. And so I remember this one night, and it was Ron Schott, and God bless him.
Oh, I remember Ron,
may rest in peace. And he was he just would either go real long, and you didn't know when he was coming off, so you didn't know if you could get in another round or not, or he would just get off whenever he felt like it. And this one night, we all had our drinks, like we were in the middle of a shift and trying to get more drinks out. Anyway, he decided he was done.
He bails.
And he was like, so good night, everybody. And we're like, what? Wait, what? And I mean, that place went into lockdown. Owner was just like, nobody lazy. We're going to get our money. We couldn't print the tricks.
No dine and dashers.
Oh man, one of the most afraid I've ever been because all I could see was my rent like going out the door.
Right.
It was just crazy.
You know, it's funny, Gigi, you mentioned Bill Hicks and Richard Jenny. I became pretty good friends with Richard Jenny and he was really good to me. And Bill Hicks, I have a memory of working with him in Milwaukee. And for those of you who don't know, Bill Hicks was a very edgy comedian, kind of cut from the same cloth as like a Lenny Bruce. I've heard that comparison a lot of times. Yes. And I was kind of intimidated by him. Like they gave him the condo in Milwaukee. I worked with him at the Milwaukee Comedy Cafe they put me somewhere else, but I ended up over there between shows for some reason. He wanted to show me a guitar or something and we're hanging out. And after the show, he says, you know what? He goes, if you were a real pal, and I didn't know him that well, he was just being nice, but he goes, if you were a real pal, you drive me to Maxwell Street in Chicago so I could get one of those Polish sausages right now. Okay, Gigi, it's like 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And I'm like, and I had a couple drinks. I'm like, I'm not going. I go, no, Bill, I'm sorry. I'd love to, but I can't. And I didn't do it. He was gone. He passed away like 3 months later. He died of, I think, pancreatic cancer. And I was like, it was one of those moments where I'm like, I wish I would have just gone. I would have had 3 hours in the car with this comedy legend. And it's just like one of those things. I didn't capture the moment. I really did not want to drive to Chicago at 2 o'clock in the morning.
No.
And I don't know that he expected me to, but anyway.
Nicest guy too.
Very nice guy.
He and Brian Regan. Nicest.
Oh man. Regan's great.
So fantastic.
One of my all-time favorites. So, okay. So you worked on this show recently called The Garcias.
I did.
And I just remember you, I don't know if it was a Facebook post or you just told me via a Facebook message or whatever, like it was really difficult because of when you were shooting it and where you were shooting it. But I did notice when I looked on IMDb, you worked with Joey Gutierrez, another friend of ours and a Chicago comedian and a really good guy. How cool was that?
Yes. Okay. First of all, he's like one of my dearest friends right now.
Oh, nice.
I have to say, your name has come up in terms of just some of our conversation. And so likewise, he just thinks you are top of the rock.
Really?
Yeah, he
wow.
He does. He really does. Nicest guy. So yes. So I got a chance to work with him and we just hit it off. And actually the whole staff, there's only four of us because it was such a small room and it was over Zoom. But I'll walk that back in just a bit. But anyway, Joey and I just became fast friends, and he and I are working on a project together that we found off of working the Garcias.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He ran the show Still Standing, if I remember correctly, and he worked on another big some of the Chuck Lorre shows maybe did he work on?
He didn't do Chuck Lorre. He did Greg Garcia. He was on Tim Doyle. He was on Hope and Raising Hope. He was on The Kids Are All Right. He did a show that a friend here in Westport, who I'm dear friends with, did Yes Dear. And he was on that for a while. So he's just had a real
Drew Carey show. That's the other one I couldn't think of.
And Drew Carey. He was on Drew Carey and he was on Martin. And so lots and lots, but he did create Still Standing and then he was head writer on the Garcias. Yeah. Great guy. So funny. I mean, one of the funniest people I've ever met.
My guest is Gigi News. She is a writer and a former actress, which I just found out tonight, but a very accomplished writer and a very, just a good person, Gigi. You're one of the nicer people I've met in this business. And so tell us about the Garcias. And I think you said you tried to film it during the pandemic in Cancun.
Oh, right. Yeah, in Cancun. Oh, yes. Well, first of all, the Garcias was was kind of like not necessarily a reboot of the show that I worked on called The Brothers Garcia. That was on Nickelodeon. And then, so the Garcias was on HBO, at the time it was HBO Max.
Okay.
And so the Garcias was the kids grown up and then the parents who are now grandparents.
Okay.
And so they're all doing quite well. And we shot it in Cancun. It was during the pandemic. We were all masked. That was a challenge. It was funny because it was so hot. It was so hot. But it was shot on a resort a resort, but the resort was also like it had a school. It was like the biggest resort I've ever seen, and lots of gates. And we were told that we were fine within the resort area, the luxury resort, but they couldn't be responsible for us if we went outside of the resort. Like
oh,
they
wow.
couldn't be responsible for what would happen to us.
Like for your safety.
And we're like, huh, that's kind of, and Joey goes, I've never been told that. And I worked in Van Nuys and I've never been told that. so it was just little things like at one point we did have to cross a highway, and I was with one of the PAs and he was like, come on, let's go. And I'm like, oh, we're going to take a car, right? We're going to take a car. And he's like, no, we're going to take this. And we were in a golf cart. And I was like, no, we're in a golf cart. This is not a car. We can't cross a highway in a golf cart. And he was like, oh yeah, come on, let's do it. And I was just like, I was white knuckled at a table read, snakes, into the table ring. You know, I mean, it was bananas.
Oh,
it was
my bananas. Gosh.
But it was, you know, and it was real quick. Everything had to be done like real fast, you know, and things would pivot on a dime. It was, hey.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Great to have you with us on this, man, on this gorgeous Thursday night. I hope it's beautiful in whatever part of our wonderful state you are in here in Wisconsin. We have, this is the What to Watch Thursday, folks, so you can get your suggestions in. If you're listening on the stream right now, you're welcome to text them on the stream or on the text line at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will be back on the radio live at 8 o'clock tonight, at which point we will welcome Abby Novak, who will tell us a little bit about Light the Night Downtown Appleton. That is coming up this weekend, and then comedian Johnny Beener joins us shortly after that. We'll talk to Johnny about upcoming dates he has, and we'll talk a little bit about Bob Newhart and his legacy. So that's coming up in hour number two. Right now, if you want to get your suggestion in or tell us what you will watch, share with us what you're going to watch this weekend. Blockbuster movie in the theaters. You going to binge watch something? So much to choose from. The Emmy nominations just came out. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And we'll discuss it here at Nightlight. Right now, we are going to pivot here and play part of an interview I did with actor Jan Janssen. He's a Wisconsin native, and he has had a very nice run on the show The Rookie for years now. And he sat down with us recently here at Nightlight, and here is part of that interview. Tell me a little bit about your background. What was your life like here? How did you end up on the West Coast?
I'm originally from Marshfield, Wisconsin. So shout out to my hometown right away. Nice. I ended up kind of getting into some acting in a community college in Rochester, Minnesota, and did some theater there for a little bit. Kind of that Hollywood dreams kind of started to take place and got into some screenwriting, some different things like that. And in 2005, I made a music video for American Idol, and they had a contest, actually 2004 and 2005, where you could make a music video, and they had a little contest online. People voted each week, just like they vote for contestants. And in 2004, I was the runner-up nationwide. 2005, I made a different music video and ended up winning that, nice. Which actually took me to Hollywood for my very first time I ever got to go to Hollywood, winning that contest. So.
Very cool.
That was my first time setting foot in Hollywood, and I ended up working at Channel 7 WSAW in Wausau, doing movie reviews and running cameras there for a couple years. And that's actually, Pete, when the first time I ever heard about you was when you did Godfather of Green Bay. I remember promoting it on my show back then. So
have we met? Did we
kind of come full circle?
Did we meet in Wausau?
I don't know if we did or not. I can't remember even where I saw that. If I drove to Green Bay to see your film or how. Yeah, I remember seeing it on the big screen somewhere. You must have screened it somewhere. I saw it.
Yeah, I've been racking my brain. They used to have these Wisconsin get-togethers too. When I lived in LA for almost 15 years, and they would have like a big brat fest at the Universal Hilton or something like that, you know, and all these people from Wisconsin would go, and it was fun. I know I met you somewhere along the line, but anyway, I remember being at WSAW. That's kind of cool. So
sure, and that might have been it. Yeah.
So when did you, that's different. Making a video is different, Jan. When did you realize you wanted to be an actor, and when did you think I can do this?
I mean, it was just doing. I played football through high school and always had a football dream. Had an injury in high school that I was like, okay, I guess football's not going to be my life dream. And then I fell into acting, just taking it as a class in Rochester, Minnesota. And the director of that, the person who ran the class, was directing a stage play and said, hey, you should audition. And I'm like, I'm not an actor. I'm just taking this as an elective. And he's like, give it a shot. So I did. He cast me in it. And from the second I got on stage, there was this kind of synchronicity between football, playing sports, and theater and acting. It was like, your directors, your head coach, Your castmates are your teammates. The plays that you run on the field are the blocking you get on stage. It was just, there was something. And then you have the audience reaction in live theater that you get when you're on a football field and you make a good play, the audience is cheering for you there. So there was something about that that really, I was like, wow, I can walk away from football and this could be my path. And I'm thankful that that happened in that way. And then just the Hollywood thing kind of, you know, it was like, well, where can I do this? And the, you know, loving movies and everything, I'm like, hey, let's go big.
And you're not going to get blindsided on stage either in a bad concussion.
It's a little safer. Yeah. Little controlled. Even if a person's doing stunts, there's a little control to that.
So tell me, Jan, you said you grew up in Marshfield. You went out to LA to do the video, and that was the first time you set foot out there. But moving out there is a big deal, and a lot of people just don't want to pull the trigger. They're like, well, I'll see what I can do here. And that's fine, too. But yeah. What made you – tell us how you forged a path from Marshfield to Hollywood to make it your home.
One day I was working at Channel 7 in Wausau, and they knew that was my dream. They knew that was where I wanted to go and eventually be. Like I said, I was just reviewing movies for them, you know, kind of like a 5 o'clock Friday night segment. And one day I was in the editing bay putting a little package together for somebody else, for one of the reporters. And I was just like, okay, it's time. Something just triggered that day. And it's like, you know, enough talking about it. Let's do it. And I went in, told the station manager, and just said, hey, I'm leaving in a month. I'm giving you my notice now. And literally my last day was June 1st of 2007 at the station. And June 8th, 2007 was my first day in Hollywood. So,
wow.
I'm coming up on 17 years this in June 8th. It'll be so
good for you, man.
Thanks. Thankful to be there. So thankful to still be there, I should say.
You got that cop look. You got the hair. You must have walked into that casting call and are like, all right, we're doing something with this guy. The Rookie, 31 episodes, not too shabby, buddy. That's pretty impressive. Tell us about The Rookie.
Yeah, The Rookie. I mean, I did a show called Castle. I worked on a show called Castle for 8 seasons. Was lucky to kind of be in there. I started on the 3rd episode of that series and worked all 8 seasons on that.
Nice.
And then one of the writers and ended up being kind of like a co-showrunner of Castle, and also the lead actor, Nathan Fillion. They, Alexi Hawley was the writer. Alexi ended up creating The Rookie after Castle wrapped. And on Castle, I mean, I've done a lot of background work. That's mostly what I do in LA. You know, just background on a lot of different shows, but I was lucky to have a great run on Castle. And then when The Rookie started up, they asked me to come along and join them on that. So from day one of the pilot, I was there on The Rookie, and little by little, as the seasons have gone along, I've gotten, you know, some speaking parts, and more as we've gotten into the last couple seasons. The show itself just hit 100 episodes this past season. We had a shortened 10-episode season because of the writers and actors strikes last summer, so we only had a short but really powerful and good 10-episode season for season 6, and we hit 100 episodes in that, so... It's great to be a part of a show that runs that long, hits that landmark. It's just a great achievement for any show. But for our show, I mean, I'm proud for everybody involved because it's a great family. It's a great group of people there.
Yeah, and that is the voice of Jan Jansen. He's an actor who is a Wisconsin native, but he's been in L.A., he says, for almost 17 years. He's been on the show Castle and now The Rookie, which just wrapped up. And put you in me. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself phoning her at least 10 times a day. You know, it's so unusual for me to carry on this way. I tell you, I can't sleep at night. I want him to hold it tight. I tried so hard to miss my...
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Richard Cantu. Microsoft has taken to X on social media to confirm a worldwide outage is impacting countless businesses. The major U.S. airlines are currently grounded across the globe. The problem involves CrowdStrike, the cybersecurity firm. How long it'll last, unknown. Former President Trump accepted the Republican presidential nomination last night, calling on Democrats to stop calling him an enemy of democracy.
I am the one saving democracy for the people of our country.
Turning to the economy.
I will end the devastating inflation crisis immediately, bring down interest rates and lower the cost of energy. We will drill, baby, drill.
The U.S. is already the world's largest petroleum producer. Trump's speech ran longer than 90 minutes, the longest broadcast nomination acceptance speech in U.S. history, besting the two previous longest such speeches, also by himself. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some big Wisconsin political figures say they would work for Donald Trump if he wins the White House again. Former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark said there aren't any plans in motion, but if he was asked, of course he would serve in a new Republican administration. During Trump's first term in office, Clark was considered for a post in the Department of Homeland Security. He withdrew his acceptance when news surfaced that he plagiarized his master's thesis. And former Governor Scott Walker is currently president of the group Young Americans for Freedom. He didn't rule out the idea. And Wisconsin has broken another employment record. New numbers from the Department of Workforce Development show the highest employment rate ever last month. The previous record was from May. Governor Tony Evers credited programs that strengthen the workforce through added access to education and fast-tracking licensing. That's been a big focus of his administration as governor. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Good Hollywood Feels news, Ryan Reynolds says he forfeited much of his salary to get the first Deadpool made. What did he do with what little salary he had left? Variety reports that Reynolds gave it to his co-writers, Rhett Reese and Paul Warnick, so they could be on the set with Reynolds and form a de facto writer's room. At this time, I should mention that his per diem on the big budget film is the budget of a small country. Still a nice gesture and a good guy. Can you imagine going through life hearing rumors that your mom slept with Mick Jagger? Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau can. Apparently, his mother, Margaret, attended a Rolling Stones concert and partied with the band after splitting with Trudeau's dad in the 70s. Margaret admits to partying with the Stones, but denies the rumors that she ever slept with Jagger, but joked that in retrospect, she says she would have slept with every single one of them. It's not so bad, Justin. Maybe she meant take a nap. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a pretty nice weekend coming up today. Mostly sunny. We'll get to 80 for a high this afternoon. The wind's southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with an isolated afternoon thunderstorm, 81. Same for Sunday. Partly cloudy, scattered afternoon thunderstorms, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Pete Schwabba.
Friday night, we're back on Nightlight full-time and discussing Green Bay ghost tours with Tim Freese. And it's Friday, so our Friday friend Terry Barr will be on the show with new music and sparkling convo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So Sherry says she wants suggestions for old, forget what the term is, classics, Sherry? Suspense movies that she can watch on Prime or Roku. I don't know if we can be that specific, Sherry, but we'll certainly give you, I can think of some that I just watched. I think if you're a Hitchcock fan, check out North by Northwest. That really holds up as classic films go, as well as Rear Window. And I don't know how far you want to go back, Sherry, but we could take suggestions too if people want to help Sherry out with some suggestions there for some older suspense movies. It is a What to Watch Thursday. Let us know what you plan on watching this weekend, whether it's in the theaters or at home with an ice cold beer or iced tea. Let us know what you plan on watching this beautiful summer weekend. In hour number two tonight, we will be back live on the radio, and Abby Novak will join us. She's the marketing director for Downtown Appleton, and she will join us to discuss Light the Night at 8:05. And then the hilarious Johnny Beaner joins us at about 8:15, 8:20, right in there. We'll talk to Johnny about upcoming dates he has and the legacy of Bob Newhart. Right now, we are going to continue our sort of greatest hits here of interviews. About a month and a half ago, I sat down with local legend Charlie Behrens, and we had a nice talk about stand-up comedy, the Manitowoc Minute, and all the things that Charlie has going on in his life. Hey, so it's great to meet you. It's great to have you on the show. You were in my adopted hometown recently of Marinette, Menominee, doing some diving, as I understand it. How did that go?
Well, it went really good. I went out with Ed the Diver.
Yeah.
Great fella. And we went out there about an hour in the river on the Wisconsin side of the river, and pulled out what must have been probably 150 lures that, you know, you guys have lost out there. And so, and plus some trash here and there. Ed's a great guy. He cleans up the rivers.
Yeah.
And in the process of cleaning them up, he finds a lot of great fishing lures. He then refinishes them and sells them again. So you guys should follow him, Ed the Diver, on Instagram and whatnot. Great fella.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's been on the show, and some of the stuff he's done is so cool. And his videos are great. Like, he's, you know, showing videos of himself petting a sturgeon and showing these little sea creatures I've never even seen before. So.
Yeah, what I like about him is he gives a real connection to, like, the waterways and gets people thinking about it in a different way, which I think is great.
Absolutely. All right, so I got to tell you, one of the first videos I saw that you, I don't know if it was one of your first videos, one of the first ones I saw, you were crossing the street in New York City, and you said, in your awesome Wisconsin accent, watch for deer. I stopped laughing. Yep. I stopped laughing a week ago Tuesday. But how cool is it, and how difficult was it to shoot a YouTube video on the streets of New York City?
Oh, honestly, not that difficult, believe it or not, because, you know, I was not even in the top five strangest things going on in New York at any given place at any given time. You know, that's, there are people doing stuff all over that city. So you can really do whatever you want, honestly. And people will be like, oh, it's New York, I suppose. They say it with a harder accent, though.
Right. Know? Right. Absolutely. You and I, actually, I don't know if you know this, we have a lot in common. I have well over 200 Twitter followers, and you have well over 2 million on YouTube. We should compare notes sometime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. It's just a matter of zeros in that regard.
Yeah, I'll give you a few pointers. How long did it take you? You're like a YouTube. You're a YouTube phenom. I wasn't overstating that. That's incredible. How long? You haven't even been at stand-up that long. So, like, how long did that take you to get that kind of a following?
Really, when I started posting in... on a regular basis, we started off with the Manitowoc Minute in 2017. And I was posting before that. I was working this job. I was like, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to do my own thing. So I kind of made it my mission to say, all right, every week I'm going to do a stand-up, or not a stand-up, every week I'm going to do a sketch video until something takes off. And I did a bunch of them and none of them took off. But then I did the Manitowoc Minute and that took off. And so I kept doing that for over a year or about a year, maybe more than a year. I can't remember. And then I started branching off into sketch. And then I, at that time too, I was also doing stand-up. And within 6 months of doing the first Manitowoc Minute video, I mean, I started selling tickets for stand-up. I got really lucky, and I think it happened at the right time, and I think there weren't a lot of people doing what I was doing. So that sort of, that was kind of the recipe for something really unique and really life-changing for me.
Well, and for your fans too, it's just, I mean, I was hearing about it before I even heard of you. Like, people were literally, it spread that fast. I was like, man, I got to check this out. You said you were working something else. What were you doing before you did that? What did you have, like a day job or something?
Oh yeah. I had a lot of day jobs. I'll tell you that much. I was at that point doing like red carpet stuff. And I was like a producer doing news. I was in the news game. Local news, comedy news, YouTube news, business reporting, all sorts of news jobs that, and that was the basis for the Manitowoc Minute, because I had all this, you know, at all these gigs I was doing, the common theme was that my accent was not really conducive with professional journalism all the time. So I just kind of doubled down on that, and that's where the Manitowoc Minute came from.
It's funny because I don't really hear that when you're just talking normally to me, but
no,
it's still, and go ahead.
I literally had a voice coach because I had a very thick accent. Well, I say very thick, but I didn't think it was ever very thick. I just think that there are certain words that really stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
As far as the accent goes, you know, especially because I was doing it in Texas at this point. So it was very different from that. Oh, and that was after having like a voice coach to help me do it. So I was trying to talk normally. I just failed enough times. And then when I started doing it comedically, you know, everything with comedy is you kind of take a truth and you heighten it.
Right.
Not everything, but that's one tactic for comedy. So what I did is I took the issues I had with journalism. I mean, I literally had somebody say I couldn't do voiceovers because of my accent, you know?
Wow.
And so I was annoyed about that, but I was annoyed by that for quite a while. And that was sort of the basis for this stand-up bit. And I think that's the cool thing about comedy is, your imperfections are perfect for comedy, you know, because imperfections are relatable to somebody usually.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. Well said. I love, you did a bit too, where you talked about on stage, and I think you said it was a professor who told you he was the one that pointed out where you realized you had an accent. Cause that's how it is. Like, we go somewhere and I never thought I had an accent, and I spent part of my life in Chicago. So I think I have a hybrid, but you always think you talk normally and they're like, oh man, where are you from? Like, you've offended them or something. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's certain words they'll give you away, or you start drinking and then you go like, I think we're always trying to sort of adapt to our surroundings. And, unless you start drinking, then you forget about it. And you kind of go back to sort of your baseline accent, right. You know, so.
Yeah, you sounded like a surfer 2 minutes ago. What happened, man? You sound like Rick Moranis from Honey. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see it with your friends with Southern accents, too. You know, they kind of talk standard, but then they'll say like a couple phrases and you're like, oh, yeah. You're not from here.
So let me ask you this. You've done really well with the accent, poking fun at your home state and all that. I made a film a few years ago and I had characters that had Wisconsin accents and people like chastised me. Like, we don't talk like that. Like, why are they embracing it for you and coming after
it? Well, Not everybody does. Not everybody
really?
Does.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are some people that think that, like, we don't talk like that.
Yeah.
And they're usually saying, like, you know, we don't talk like that. I tell you what, you know, that's garbage right there. I think, I mean, from a comedy perspective, I'm doing, like, the Manswag main character is very sketch, kind of a sketch comedy thing where you're not exactly always doing it the exact way people say it. You know, it's not always the most grounded thing intentionally. You kind of exaggerate to highlight the comedy on it.
Yeah.
And so, that's one thing. But the other thing is that there are definitely people that talk like, have even thicker accents than the most exaggerated parts of my accent, and I know that because I'm related to some of them. So, you know, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, and I can't tell anyone how to feel about one thing or another, but, you know, it is kind of what it is.
My guest is Charlie Behrens, the creator of the Manitowoc Minute and all kinds of incredible content that you can find all over social media. You are on a tour right now, Charlie. You want to tell us about where you're going to be? Where can people see you? The good old-fashioned tour?
Yeah, I'm on a little bit of a break this summer, but I'm going to be at I'm going to be up north at the Lumberjack Festival, Chippewa Falls in July, doing the fair up there. And then come fall, I'm going to be back on tour officially, and we'll kind of be a little bit of everywhere. So if you check it out, it's charliebehrens.com or manitowocminute.com. You just click on the tour section of either of those websites. Thanks for letting me plug. That was really nice of you.
Yeah, what are we doing here, you know?
Yeah.
So you talked about, like, the people that are in your lives that you got this accent from or these characters from. Where does the Manitowoc Minute character come from? Just from working in news? And did you, like, bring characters from your family into that when you created it?
Yeah, the character itself is a hodgepodge of family and friends that I knew with very, you know, just kind of salt of the earth Wisconsin people. It's a bit of a hodgepodge. My grandpa, Bob, it was a big influence on it. And the reason I called it the Manitowoc Minute, not because I'm from Manitowoc, although I got family from Trivers, Ed Burns, the guy who made invented the ice cream sundae, by the way, related to him. Great, great, great uncle.
Oh, nice.
Somewhere in there. My grandma knows the full story. I get the details wrong. But there was a guy at a stand-up show I was doing it in Los Angeles. That fell was from Manitowoc. And I had just gotten done doing this great set at the Comedy Store. And I was a little bummed out because, like, it was a great set, but only like 50 people saw it. One of the people who saw it was that guy from Manitowoc. So the next day I was trying to do, like, almost a sketch, the first Manitowoc Minute, but I didn't have a name for it. So I named it after that guy. And that's where, the name Manitowoc came from in the Manitowoc Minute.
That's great. Is one of the coolest things about the level of fame you've reached that you get to cook brats with Christian Yelich in a YouTube video?
I mean, yeah, that is really nice. I get spoiled. I really do. I've gotten so many cool opportunities that I can't even believe. I can't believe that they've happened. And I can't almost not believe they're happening when they're happening. You know, I feel very lucky.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today's tip is for adults just starting to build their credit. One tool that can help them is a secured credit card. With a secured card, you, or the 18-year-old in your life who is just starting out, makes a small deposit that effectively becomes the card's limit. They should use the card once or twice a month, never for more than 10 or 15% of the credit limit. And they have to pay it off every month like clockwork. Last thing, before committing to a secured credit card, confirm that the card you want to use reports their activity to the credit bureaus. Not all of them do. Pro tip, this isn't just for folks starting out. If you need to raise your credit score, a secured card might be a good tool for you too. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy. Till next time, take good care.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a What to Watch Thursday here at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great to have you with us. If you are on the stream watching us, we welcome you, and we will be going live back to our old affiliates, I should say typical affiliates at 8:05 when Abby Novak will join us to talk about Light the Night. Appleton and Johnny Beaner will join us shortly thereafter. So great to have you with us tonight. Let us know what you're going to watch this weekend. Are you headed to the theater? Are you going to sit home and crack a cold one and watch some TV? We want to know. We'll read your suggestions at 8:20. So this has been an interesting week, Conrad.
It definitely has.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just talking to you right now. So let me know what you're going to watch this weekend, Conrad.
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet? All right. Well, you better have it by 8:20.
I will, yes.
All right. Oh, he's getting a call. Sweet. All right. Right now, we are going to go to another one of our favorite interviews and one of our favorite guests, Mike Toomey. Mike and I talked about recently on the show about being on the road and sharing road stories with each other. And here's part of that interview right now. Do you have any crazy road stories, Mike?
Yeah, you know what? Because I have one that's really funny, because when you kind of told me earlier that we might be talking about this, I thought of one, and I won't mention the other comedian's name. You know him. I know him. It was a trip. You know that routinely when we live in Chicago, we would do these Michigan trips, right? One particular time, I was working in Detroit for the week, and the guy that I was working with lived in the city. And where I lived, you would have to, the first 45 minutes of his trip would be to come by my house and then go up to Detroit, right?
Okay.
So I say to this guy, how about you drive to my house, leave your car here, and I'll drive us both the next 4 hours up to Detroit. So he's like, I kind of want to just drive by myself. I'm like, okay. We're both going there. So, okay, fine. We both take our cars to Detroit. And I call him like before the first show. Hey, you want to ride up to the club from the hotel? No. I kind of want to drive by myself. Well, what he was really doing is he was keeping his options open in case, he was able to, I guess we could hook up, I guess we can say.
Yeah.
So every night he and I would caravan from the hotel to the club. And then back, right?
Yeah.
Nothing, and then like about the third night of the week, his car breaks down at the McDonald's drive-thru. It's not drivable. So he has to take it to a place. And then I have to drive him home at the end of the week, all the way back past my house, another 45 minutes to where he lives. All the way back. So an extra hour and a half of driving when I pretty much said, look, I'll drive us. He had like a beater, like a really old car that, wouldn't surprise you if it got wrecked. And of course, what he thought was going to happen, of course, did not happen.
Right. Probably somebody might have taken one look at his car and said, yeah, no, thanks.
Right. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I don't. So okay. You're going to have to tell me after the show. But I will. That does remind me of a story. Just comics that were like the guys that were hounds on the road. Yeah. I remember two friends of ours went up to the UP and they drove together. And one of them said, And the one guy said, I'm driving right back to Chicago after the show. I'm not staying. I'm not talking to girls, whatever. 10 o'clock, we're out of there. And it was like in Marquette, Michigan or something like that. And they were going to turn around, drive right back. So the
it's a long ride.
It's a long ride. So the one guy goes up, he's done. He starts flirting with this girl. And then our other friend goes up and finishes. He goes, all right, let's go. And the guy says, you know what? I think I'm going to stick around. He's like, I told you, I'm not sticking around. I got to get back to Chicago. He's like, that's okay. Go ahead. I'll find my way back. He goes, how are you going to get back? He goes, well, this girl said she could drive me. There's a Greyhound about an hour away and I could catch a train in Madison, Wisconsin. It was like this crazy, God. Like, and he's telling this to the other comic and the other comic just looks at him and goes, get in the car right now. And then like an hour into their drive back, he looks at the comic that was hitting on the girl, looks at him and says, yeah, that was a good decision, man. Thanks for telling me. Oh, that's funny.
No, I was going to say what's so funny about situations like that is sometimes you'll end up driving with somebody who you don't know just because they'll like call you and say, hey, can you pick this guy up on the first stop? And yeah. Then do the tour with him this particular week. And you don't know what you're going to get, you know, like
it's a big ask. For the most part,
everybody's pretty cool. But I got in a car with one guy who the entire time, all he did was criticize everything. What I listened to on the radio, what music I had with me, like my strategies on parenting, which by the way, I had two kids at the time and he had none, but he knew more about it than I did. And it just every single thing, you know, he had a comment on it. And I'm like, you realize I'm driving you everywhere right now. like I said, we were driving. I'm like, hey, I want to stop at a store because my kids collect these action figures. And I thought there's a couple they don't have. Maybe since I'm in a different part of the, you know, different state, maybe they have. He's like, you know, when you do that, they only like you because you buy them stuff. Oh my God. So they're not happy to see you when you come home. They're just hoping you bring them toys.
Well, it's nice to get good advice, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
He's a good man.
Yeah. And you're driving him. That's great. Creeping up on you, so just dance, come on. All those things I shouldn't do, but you dance. And ain't nobody leaving, so keep dancing. So just dance.
I can't stop the feeling. So just dance, come on. Ooh, it's something magical. It's in the air, it's in my blood, it's rushing on. I don't need no reason, don't be controlled. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. Feel that hot blood in my body.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We're back in Milwaukee taking a look back at Trump's comments from the night before and what is ahead for Democrats. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1550 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.